When it comes to heating up your business, it's all about making more bacon. And that requires an expert
with a particular set of skills.
You need
a Baconologist.
Building authentic connections, online networking, through social selling, relationship marketing, mindset and training.
Yeah, that's bacon.
Get ready, because we're about to fry up a sizzling success strategy. This is the Bacon Podcast with your host and business Baconologist, Brian Basilico.
It's a lot of bees, man.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am uber excited because I have two past guests, and these ladies are not only friends, but they're amazingly brilliant. I've learned so much from both of them, speaking at conferences, being at their conferences, working with them online. And the two people that I have today is Connie Reagan Green, who's out in California, and Ellen Finkelstein, who I believe is in Iowa, but we never know because she moves around a lot. So anyways, Connie and Ellen, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
I'm doing great too, except it's 7 degrees out here in Iowa.
Ooh, yeah. It was 7 degrees when I walked the dog this morning, so I feel your pain.
and it's freezing in California. I think it's 46.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you guys have to break out the parkas.
We have to put on mittens.
Yes, Bernie mittens. Yep. But let's not go down that road. What road we want to go down is we are here to talk about your new book, and it's called Speakers, The Quick Public Speaking to Business Method. And the subtitle is Turning Your Talk into an Ongoing Revenue Stream. Did I get that right?
You did.
Boom goes the dynamite. All right. So let's get started. I'm going to start with you, Ellen, because you are the queen of PowerPoint presentations. And I know you love to speak. And Connie is the queen of revenue streams. So we're going to start with you, Ellen, and let's talk about, you know, public speaking in general. What's changed this year? What do people need to think about? Because obviously, I mean, I had speaking gigs that were canceled. How do we deal with this?
Yes. So COVID definitely has changed speaking, although I must say that that process of switching from in-person to online started quite a long time ago. Partly it was because of the technology and broadband and all of that. But if you are old enough to remember, go back to 9/11, which was in 2001, people didn't travel for months after that. And so people started doing webinars instead, and conferences started being done online, and people kind of liked it. So even though people went back to conferences that were in person, it's always really nice to see the people you're speaking to. Nevertheless, this has been such a long period of time when we couldn't speak in person. So speaking online is a big deal. Speaking on podcasts like we're doing right now is a great way to get your word out and to get greater, quote, visibility. Auditability, is that a word?
It works for me. So, yes, I like calling it getting inside of people's earballs. So you're getting inside their heads because they're usually listening with the pods in. So, Connie, with the speaking gigs now, obviously, you know, when we were doing our thing, it was called selling from stage. And we don't necessarily have that, but you've taught me a lot about, you know, creating revenue streams. For example, you have connieloves.me. I have brianloves.info. You know, it's where I've created the products that I use and links to them and affiliate links and things like that. What do speakers need to know about generating revenue streams from their speaking?
Well, you know, Brian, right now, I think of it as selling from your office chair, because we're just sitting down instead of standing up, and we're allowed to get right into people's homes like never before. Even though I do miss the in-person speaking, speaking with presentations, it's an excellent way to increase your revenue and build multiple streams. So I think what you want to do is just work it into the conversation regularly. So if I'm like, I have an exercise group I'm with in the morning, and today I was telling them about a book I was reading, and I gave them my connieloves.me link to that book. So if you just work it into the conversation, you're still selling from the stage, but from your office chair. But perhaps we have people's attention even more because they are home. They do feel like it's one-on-one with us. And that's an excellent way to do business.
Yeah, that's very true, because it is a lot more personalized when you're sitting at your computer. But then, you know, the antithesis of that, fun word to say, is the fact that, you know, people are getting kind of, I call them Zoombies, you know, they're getting Zoom overload because everything's a Zoom meeting nowadays. And so, Ellen, how do we spice that up? How do we make it so it's more exciting that people pay attention more?
Well, it depends what kind of talk you're doing, but if you're doing a webinar, certainly from my perspective of using PowerPoint, you don't want death by PowerPoint. You need to make your slides and your voice even more lively than you did before when people were looking at you, because then there was that, you know, you were there and people that you moved around and that created some liveliness. So lots of images, evocative images, emotional images that you use on your slides. I really like a new feature of Zoom. It's a beta feature where you can be in front of your slides. And so you're not in this little box on the side. So that's another way of being more there, people being able to see you in your hands moving a little bit more clearly. You're a little bit bigger than you are when you're in that webcam box. And you need to use your voice. So, of course, you know that. You have a podcast. and whatever kind of speaking that you're doing when you're speaking on a podcast, many podcasts nowadays are video, but whatever you're doing, you need to pause. You need to use, you know, up and down of your voice. All of those things are really, really important. And then finally, which is true in any case, I don't think it's so much different, but maybe you need to do it more, is interactivity. So you need to not only take questions from your audience, but you need to ask them questions. And so, yes, maybe they'll be answering in the chat instead of you raising their hand and speaking out loud, but then you read that out loud and you answer the question, so on like that. You can do polls and all sorts of different things that you can do to keep people's attention.
I like that. And I haven't played with that beta feature yet, but I could see where that could be really cool, where you're sitting in the middle and, you know, slides come up and you start pointing to things and moving things around. I mean, that could be really cool. You can do some neat stuff, huh?
You don't really move things around, because what Zoom does is just create pictures of each slide, but mm-hmm. you can point to things and you can move where you are. You can make your picture a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, but by default you're at the lower right hand corner, but it's much bigger, and they really see you there. So, and you're in, it appears like you're in front of that slide.
Cool. That's something I'll definitely have to play with and see how it works.
And I'd like to add something to that, Brian, to what Ellen's talking about in terms of keeping people's attention and everything. Mm-hmm. For revenue, what I like to do is make sure that my presentation is broken down into parts, and I'll tell people at the beginning what the agenda is, and I'll say, you know, today I have these four parts, and at the end of every part, it's almost a call to action, where you want them to do something, you want them to go to a certain link, you want them to take notes with it, and that way, at the end of the time, then you can review the things that you shared. And it's almost like being in a classroom, being, you know, perhaps in a university class, where the professor is giving you the notes, giving you the details of what they're teaching, what they're presenting, and giving you an action to take at the end of each piece of the entire presentation.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I think, you know, other things that you can do is, you know, interactive handouts, maybe create a web page with a survey on it that people go to afterwards, or, you know, maybe gamification. You know, obviously you don't want to do it during the middle of the presentation, but I think one of the key things is, you know, webinars are webinars. You go to a webinar, there's a call to action, you purchase something. But I think today there's lots of new tools at our fingertips that we can keep people engaged far beyond just that event, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So first of all, two things I wanted to say. I wanted to follow up on what Connie said. You can actually turn a webinar into something of a workshop, so that you can give people a little assignment and they can put the answers in the chat. And then they have, you know, actually accomplished something or integrated something or implemented something before you actually sell at the end. And that really makes people feel like they gain so much value. So number one, there's this feeling of reciprocity, but they also just see your expertise a lot more. So, you know, that was one thing that I wanted to say. And what was the other point that you made? Oh, I wanted to talk about experiences, that a big trend in speaking these days is creating an experience. You know, we're not talking to them or at them, we're creating an experience. And that has a much more transformative effect.
And Connie, you had something to add?
Yeah, no, I really love the experiential presenting or experiential learning, because how wonderful if somebody later on, and I know this happens in real estate, I'm still have a foot in the door in real estate, and the presentations they've been doing for the past 6 months at least, it's an experience, and I end up talking to other people about it, what they shared and what I was able to do during that presentation. And I think that's very, very powerful.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And so when speakers are doing things, obviously, you know, one of the key things that speakers like to do is sell their books. But are they leaving money on the table? Are they missing opportunities? What are speakers today not thinking about? Some of the tips from your book.
So one of the things that you need to do when you speak is you need to capture the name and the email of your audience. And that's actually easier online because they register for the webinar and you get it there automatically. When you're speaking in person, you need to use other techniques like passing around a list, or maybe you can do something with it where they look, go to a link on their phone. You give them a link and they go to the link on their phone and they have to opt in to get the handout, for example. So there are lots of different ways of doing it, but you're definitely leaving money on the table if you're not bringing those people into your email list, because not everybody buys right away. Not everybody's ready right away. Not people, whatever it is. And so there's you can then send follow-up emails, are called autoresponders, and automate that process so that you can give people a summary of what you said and keep on making the offer that you made over time. And very often that last day of the last autoresponder, when maybe a bonus goes away or the offer goes away altogether, you'll get a lot of sales.
And Connie, you're known as, at least to me, the person is, you know, huge revenues, tiny list. I mean, that's one of the ways that you started out. So the size of the list isn't important. It's how engaged they are, right?
Yes, because we really are building relationships. And what Ellen was just sharing, it's actually from part two of our book, it's called Turning Your Speech into a Business. There are five chapters there. Chapter 8, The Art and Science of the Funnel. This is where Ellen goes into great detail about how to do this exactly, very specifically how to do this. And the idea is that you let people know immediately that you are in business, you are a professional, and they know that there will be things for sale. But of course, not everybody's ready. They may not be willing. They may not know you well enough then, but they want to build that relationship. So if you give them that opportunity to further connect with you, then you'll be at the beginning of a lifetime relationship with that person that will lead to many, many sales. I have a woman coming into my mentoring program on the first of the month that's how we met, where I just introduced her to some ideas and she signed up on my list. And here it is about 4 years later that she's coming into a big program. And I don't believe she's purchased, you know, even through my affiliate links during this time. So the relationships are all important. And with email, it makes it so much easier for all of us to stay connected.
Yeah, I concur. And I have seen that so many times. I've had customers who've come to me and seen me speak at, you know, Chamber of Commerce events, which, you know, aren't even kind of in my niche anymore. But they said, hey, I saw you speak 4 years ago. And I just went on Amazon and bought your book and I read it and I am ready to get started. And it's like, you know, 4 years? Really? But that happens. It happens all the time and it continues to amaze me. And I think one of the things that people need to understand is to run a business today, we need to have those multiple kinds of streams in order to be successful. I mean, that's one of the things I think that has gotten a lot of people online through the past year was, you know, maybe they couldn't do what they did normally, but maybe they could promote, you know, just links to Amazon and make some money off of that, or, you know, promote other people's products and make some money off of that. It's all about creating the right mix of content and the right mix of products to match the audience that you've developed, right?
Yes. And if you promote someone's book, so, you know, all of us here are authors, multiple authors. Mm-hmm. And if you promote someone's book and if you tag them perhaps on social media or even send them an email and say, I've just shared your book with my community, with my groups, then that is so powerful and it's so meaningful that they made that effort to recommend something that I've done.
Agreed. Ellen, any thoughts?
I wanted to talk about relationships and talk about stories when you're telling stories when you speak. Now, you also tell stories when you write, but storytelling is really started as an oral type of skill, an oral thing. And when you use stories, it's much more powerful to engage your audience rather than just giving people facts and figures or even principles, because the stories are examples. The stories have an emotional connection. And so you tell stories regularly, and that's part of the way you create and keep a relationship with the people while you're speaking and then afterwards in your emails. And we have a whole part, chapters 17 through 25, about using the power of stories in your speaking and business as part of our book.
So basically, let's kind of sum this up. Number one, speaking online is not a heck of a lot different than speaking in person. So people just have to get used to the technology, the way the audiences consume. The second thing I think that's important is figuring out your business model and how to create revenue streams, not only from that particular presentation, but in the future. And then, going forward, what are some of the things you think that are going to be the biggest challenges or the things that people need to think about in the coming year and years to come?
I think there'll be that period of time where we're transitioning back to live events. And I'm already starting to think about that, and I wasn't thinking about it in 2020 at all. And I think during that time, there will be people that will say, well, I started doing presentations online, and perhaps I don't want to do that traveling again. There will be other people that will see that as an opportunity to do something online, do a webinar, and then within that webinar, invite people to something that would be live in person. But I think people are going to take a step back and really rethink how they're doing their business before they move forward with the world to come.
I think one of the things that we will see as, God willing, COVID goes away is hybrid events. And we've already heard that concept about education, about school, you know, hybrid classes, you know, that kind of thing. But it's mostly been maybe a day in the classroom and a day at home or something like that. But it is actually possible to have events that are live, but also people who don't want to travel can see them, can watch them online, and you can really do both. There has not been a lot of that prior to this, and so that would be something new.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. One of the things that I've seen, not personally played with yet, is virtual conference software, where you can actually go to the main stage and watch the main speaker. And then they have breakout rooms. Yes. And you as an avatar can travel to the breakout rooms that you want to go to. And if you get bored, just like you do at a real conference, you can go into the lounge and walk up to a table and have a conversation with somebody. So, you know, some of us are, you know, I know, Connie, you consider yourself an introvert, but I've never seen you that way. But, you know, if you are an introvert, it might be a great way to get to know people differently than being in a room with people. Maybe it's a new tool for introverts or something like that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think so, you know, for sure. And I guess I'm an ambivert, but I'm an introvert choice most of the time. But what you're describing with the main stage and the breakout rooms, mm-hmm. I was invited to something by Seth Godin's group. He has his Alt MBA program, and I was invited in, and it was just like what you were saying, and it was so much fun to go into the breakout rooms, and we had a task to accomplish, and there were seven or eight of us each time, and then they would call time, and everybody would come back to the main stage, and that was really, because I had to be active, I had to interact, and you know, there was no time to take a break or to get bored or leave or something. And I think that that could be a wonderful model for the future.
So I've done this twice. Once was a very long time ago. Do you remember Second Life?
Mm-mm. Was it a game, kind of?
Well, it's not really a game. I think it still exists, but it's a world, a 3D world, and you can go in there and you can create buildings and costumes and meet people online, sort of like a video game, but there's no real game. It's that you can just create groups and talk with people, something like that. So, but because you can build buildings and things, there was somebody I knew who built a conference center inside Second Life. More recently, after my a Microsoft conference that was virtual that it went to, one of the people set up. So Microsoft has something called Alt Space VR. You can do it with goggles and your virtual reality goggles, or without. But if you do it with, I guess you get a different look. It looks more 3D. So I'll say two things. It's amazing what can be done. It is a lot of fun. Technically, it's a little. You have to get used to it. And so to have somebody come into a world like that who's never done it before and, you know, participate can be a little confusing. But I think at some point we'll get there. So that's a fascinating idea, Brian.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of new technology and cool new things that are going to be coming out. And you know, it's hard to get people to change in general, but adapting to some of these new technologies and, you know, concepts is something that I think we're all going to have to get used to. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have iPhones, you know, now you can't live without it, right? So, you know, what's going to happen in the next 2-3 years, because technology accelerates so much. So I'm going to leave you guys each with one last question. And that is, inside this book, what is the biggest aha that, as you wrote it, you said, you know, this is something that people just need to understand? So, Ellen, why don't you go first?
I think that many people who speak are so passionate about what they speak about that they forget the business side of it, and they're not systematic and consistent and persistent with the business side of it. So, for me, I think the really important thing is understanding the technology and being very consistent with creating a funnel. You know, when you speak, making some type of free offer and making sure that in that free offer you have an upsell to something. I tell people they should put the upsell in three places: in the freebie itself, in the autoresponders, and on the thank you page that they get to after they fill out the form. And so just being really consistent with the business side of it to be successful.
Makes sense. Connie?
Well, I shared something in this book that I feel very strongly about, and it's turning your talk into an e-course. So an e-course is something that's delivered lesson by lesson, and I do have one on how to become a public speaker, and it gives you that opportunity to test out your material and get feedback from people that opt in to receive little pieces of it. Which you could also do, and I didn't do that. I didn't do this for that program, the How to Become a Public Speaker, but you could record short videos, 2 or 3 minutes each, where you talk about one point that you're covering within your talk. And that's a way to really flesh out. You're making it 3D, where the person opts in, they start receiving the lessons, the messages, and they feel like they're receiving that presentation, that speech from you, even though they're not on a webinar or live with you in person. I think e-courses really are the wave of the future.
I agree. And one of the things that I think is really important that you brought up, Connie and Ellen, is the fact that, and this is one of the things I preach to my audience, my clients, is everything we make is an asset. And you can take that asset and turn it into something else. So, you know, all my books have been blog posts. And my last book was really a sequence of podcasts that I took and I manipulated and turned it into something else. And that obviously those podcasts can be turned into e-courses and blog posts and drip sequences and, you know, giveaways. And there's so many different ways to take all of this and you know, turn it into something more than just the speech or the book or whatever. So I think, That is a huge point that you guys bring up, is think of everything that you create as an asset, and how can I take this asset and get more life out of it? You know, how do I get some return on investment on the time that I've spent creating something? Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And different people like to learn in different ways. So some people might want to hear you speak, but other people might want to read something, and they might want to pore over it and underline it, you know, take the physical book and highlight it and all of that. I put little markers on the pages that I'm interested in. So everybody learns it in their own way, their own kind of different funnel, whether it's voice or reading. And then different people learn at different speeds, and then different people are ready for things at different times. So absolutely turning things into different, reformatting your content and making it all sorts of different things. And one of the things that people often don't realize is that you can, if you take something that you've written and you turn it into an e-course, like Connie said, it will have a higher value. And so you can sometimes make a lot more money by doing that as well.
Absolutely. Anything to add, Connie?
Yeah, Ellen went into great detail with this in chapter 23. Choose the best media for your story. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of ultimate repurposing, so that we reach everyone. Because usually we can't do something that's for everyone. You can repurpose it into something that finally there will be something for everyone right there.
Awesome. Well, ladies, this has been fantastic. Tons of information. I think there's a lot of value that people can get out of this. I've got two requests from you. First and foremost, each tell us how people can get a hold of you specifically. And then finally, tell us a link to the book and a link to other resources that you might have.
Yes, the best way to reach me is to find me on Twitter. I'm Connie Green on Twitter, twitter.com/Connie Green. And that way you'll have access to every place that you can find me elsewhere. And, you know, I really want to connect with people. That's a big part of who I am and what I love to do. So also the direct link to our book, go to connieloves.me/speak2business, speak T-O business.
How did I know that was coming up? That's awesome. And Ellen?
Connecting with me, just go to changetheworldmarketing.com. And I have a contact page there. You'll be very easy to find me there. So that's the best way to contact me. And we have some speaker resources, and the URL for that is onlinewritingprofits.com/speaker-resources. So that's onlinewritingprofits.com/speaker-resources. And you'll have lots of goodies there.
Awesome. And I will make sure that both of those links are in the show notes. So again, ladies, great conversation, great talk. Thank you so much for coming on and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I so appreciate you and your time, and I so look forward to having you guys back on the podcast again soon.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you for letting us sprinkle some bacon bits into your brains. Want some more? Learn more about this podcast and our guest experts at baconpodcast.com. Have questions? Send them to askbrian@baconpodcast.com. Until next time, keep sizzling. And remember, it's all about the bacon.